Take your Bibles, go to Deuteronomy. You know what Deuteronomy means? See, duo, that means two, right? Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. The first giving is in Leviticus to that generation. That generation died out in the wilderness, and a new generation is ready to enter into the promised land. And before they do so, Moses gives them the law once again. So it's the second giving of the law to the nation of Israel. I'm beginning a new series today. We're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments. You might think, who wants to go through that? I do. That's why we're going to do it. But we're going to look at it differently. And we're going to start till next week, actually. Today I want to introduce the series. And I want to show you what Moses said to the people, how to teach the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to introduce it that way, because what I want to do with this is show you how to apply this in your home. Because we're going to see it's the parents who are supposed to teach this to their children and to their grandchildren. And so what I want to do with this series is show you how to apply this in your home. We can have homes that win. Doesn't have to be a home that just survives. It can be a home that thrives. Amen? Now, I want every home in this church to thrive, knowing the Word of God and teaching it, training our young people to know this, how to apply it to their lives. And you say, well, Brother West, my kids are grown. Well, have you got any grandchildren? Do you have any influence on them? We grandparents can use this with our grandchildren. Matter of fact, all these children are our children. Amen? These are all my kids. I said that once, and a girl came up to me after church and wanted her allowance. So you got to be careful. I had to disown her right off the bat. But these are my kids. These are our kids, right? And so we need to help teach and train our young people that they might know the Word of God and might practice it in their lives. Many churches, I'm afraid today, and many pastors are not really professing God's Word as absolute truth anymore. And it is. This is the absolute truth of God. Whether people want to hear it or not, folks, we've got to stop marketing religion. We've got to stop pandering to people's desires. We don't need superficial solutions. Hey, it's not my job to fill the auditorium. It's my job to fill the pulpit. I need to rightly divide the word of truth, because I'll answer to God one day for how I preach and teach the word. Some years ago, thinking about this generation that's growing up, there was a fad of t-shirts. You might remember this. On the t-shirt in capital letters was "No Fear." You remember those? "No Fear." One said, "I am not scared. I am not afraid. I am an animal. I will eat you alive if I have to." Then in big capital letters, "No fear." Well, I think he was very much afraid. Don't you? You ever see a cat when a dog comes around, how they puff up? You know why they do that? They're afraid. They're afraid of that dog. I think a lot of people get puffed up and talk big, but really, there's a great deal of fear in their lives and in their hearts. And a lot of it, folks, is homemade. There's a lot of homemade fear going on today. So we're going to talk about life's greatest undertaking this morning. There's a generation of young people who feel and act like animals. And the reason that is because they've been taught that by evolution they are just a higher form of animal. Not told that they are created in the image of God, but that they're just accidents of nature. And so with this mindset, is it any wonder that they often act like animals? No, more than 100,000 of our teenagers are caged like animals in prisons today. More than 1 million teenage girls will get pregnant this year. Over 10 million minors are infected with STDs. That's what we're dealing with today. Folks, we need to get back to the Word of God. And in this series, we're going to look at the commandments of God, and I want to give you some specific ideas to help you communicate this to your family in your home. Okay? Would you stand with me if you're physically able as we read our text this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1. The Ten Commandments are given in chapter 5. So now he's going to show them how to teach these commandments. Verse 1 says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel," this is the Shema that many Orthodox Jews quote at least twice a day. Shema, or Shema, as they might say, is that word here. Here. And the Jews will recite this several times a day, beginning with verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Amen. You may be seated. The Jews take this Shema and put it in a little leather box and put it around their head. It's that between their eyes. Like they do this literally. They take this passage and put it in paper and wear it as a phylactery. They put it on the doorpost. You ever see the Jews have that emblem on the side of the door and they'll touch it when they go in? That's the Shema, written down on the doorposts of their home. So they do this very literally. But we can do it also figuratively. We can do this by knowing that this is in our hearts and this is our will, that God's will be done in our life. Teach this to our children, to our grandchildren. So Moses tells us how to observe this. The parents are to communicate these commandments to their children. Folks, the primary setting for the teaching of the commandments of God is not in a church house. It's not in a schoolhouse. It's in your house. It's to be done in your home. You are to teach these commandments to your children. That's the responsibility every parent has. So let's think about this today. If you want to take notes, first note a word about right living. A word about right living. Successful parenting begins with that parent having a right relationship with God. Do you have a right relationship with God? Now, I know some say, well, I know some parents that are not saved and they're good parents. They do a great job raising their children. And I'm sure that's true. But I think really to be successful in bringing up a child in the image of the Lord, you need to know the Lord. We need to know the Lord that we might be able to raise them as we ought. Hey, you'll never be able to raise your or lead your children any further than you've been yourself. Right? How far have you gone in your walk, in your relationship with God? You're never going to be able to lead them further than you've been yourself. So these verses are showing parents what we need to be successful in raising our children. First of all, it's about having a reverence for God. Having a reverence for the Lord God. Verse 2 says we should fear the Lord. We are to walk with an awareness of God's glory, of God's holiness, of God's majesty. That's a primary responsibility for a parent. That he walks in reverence to God before his children. See, they need to see this holy reverence in mom and dad. You ever take God's name in vain? No child of God should ever be guilty of that. Some have a problem with it. They're not showing reverence to God in doing so. And you're teaching your children not to revere that holy name of God. By the way, it's going to be one of the commandments. Take not the Lord's name in vain. We'll cover that in detail later. But bring your life under God's leadership. The Bible says in Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. That's the first step in proper parenting. Secondly, honing a reaction toward God. See, when we fear the Lord, as we should, that will result in our obeying the Word of God. There's no better witness that a parent can have before their children than the sure knowledge that mom and dad take the Bible seriously. That they know that this is to be the rule of the home. God's standards will be our standards. Amen. Your children often will model what they see in mom and dad. They model that. They carry away with them when they leave home many of your beliefs and your practices. They take that with them. So we've got to be careful to teach them God's word. They should be cherished and obeyed. David wrote the 119th Psalm. That's a long psalm. And it's about loving and cherishing the Word of God. I think of all the verses there, only two or three do not mention the Bible or the statutes or the commandments, some word referring to the Word of God. All through this, to give an example, Psalm 119, verse 97. He said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, can you say that seriously, honestly? He says in verse 105, thy word, everybody knows this one, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All through that psalm, he is speaking of God's word and how much he loves the word of God. Our children need to see that in us. That we truly love the word of God. that we obey it. And then thirdly, heaping a reward from God. Now, God promises Israel here, if they will teach his word and follow it, he will bless them. He will reward them for doing so. I think that still holds true today. I think God still promises to bless those who walk in his will, who follow his word. He'll bless us. He'll bless that home. Amen. The first psalm, let me read the first three verses of Psalm number 1. Speaks of this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law or the word of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. That's what the Bible says about those who love the word of God and seek to follow it. Children need to see this. They need to see what God will do in their lives, how God will bless. Do you show them how God blesses tithing in your home? Do you show them how God blesses honesty? How God blesses faithfulness? We teach them these things by how we walk with God. They're going to learn by observing. Amen? They're going to learn by observing. They're going to watch us to see if we really mean what we say. Hey, we need to show them it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. They need to see this. So, Brother West, I'm afraid I might raise a fanatic. Well, I'd rather raise a fanatic than a reprobate. Amen. I wouldn't worry too much about that. But our parenting can be a living memorial by the investment we make in the lives of our children and our grandchildren, that they might pass it on generation to generation. Second, think about a word about right loving. Not just right living, but how about right loving? Because it says there that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Love him. To be successful, we need to have a relationship with the Lord based upon love. Loving supremely the Lord God. God's to be our focus. In the home, God's to be our focus. We're going to see to have no other gods before him. Sometimes children see parents putting just about everything in the world ahead of God. It may be a job, maybe a hobby, maybe some organization. I know a couple that they're Shriners, and that is the focus of their life. They hardly ever go to church, but they never miss a Shriners event. They put that above church. Now, I have nothing wrong with these. There's some good organizations that do some good things, but the church comes first. The cause of Christ comes first, above anything and everything else. And we need to make sure that our children see that. Because whatever we put ahead of God becomes an idol. And we're sending a false message to our children. We're telling them by our actions that there are some things that come before Christ, that we might love more than the Lord. They need to know that nothing comes before our relationship with the Lord. That is to be our focus. Jesus said so in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put that first. And all these other things can be added to you. But make sure that comes first. Make sure your children know that. What if we went and asked your children or grandchildren what they think is most important in your life? What would they say? Say, preacher, don't you dare go talk to my kids. I won't. But I wonder if they would say that my dad and my mom put the Lord first. He comes first in their life and in our home. Some children, one thing that really breaks my heart. I've been here 35 years. I've seen a lot of youth groups come through this church. And it breaks my heart to see young people grow up in church. They're taught the Word of God. They get on their own and they drop out. There's a lot of people grew up in this church are not in church today. And I wonder what we could have done different to change that. A lot of times these young people quit church because maybe mom and dad were one way at church and something else at home. Maybe all they saw was hypocrisy. And when they got older, they said, I don't want nothing to do with it. Now, I did realize that some children were raised in a very godly home by very Christ-honoring parents and yet choose to go a different way. It's sad to see. But they grow up, they make their own choices. And sadly, many of them choose to forsake the faith of their parents and go out into the world and not serve the Lord. That's sad. So we've got to do everything we can to help our children, our grandchildren, to know the Lord and to love the Lord and want to follow Him. It's not only to be our focus, I think it should be our fixation. It'll be our fixation. The love for God is to motivate every area of our lives. I mean, it ought to consume us. When it does, it will fill us and work in us and reveal itself in us. Our children need to see that. They need to see it. Would your children testify that mom and dad are not hypocrites? They really believe and they live what they believe. You know, pagan gods, back then and still today, I think this refers to Allah. They're not gods of love. They're not gods of love. Muslims who are converted to Christianity, the one thing that impresses them most of all is that Jehovah God is a God of love. Allah is not seen that way. Allah is a very vindictive, vicious sort of God. Of course, He doesn't exist, but what they believe in. And that's where the pagan gods were. They didn't want you to love them. They didn't care if you loved them. You better appease them, or judgment will fall. Folks, we serve a God of love. He's a God of love. He loves us, and He wants us to love Him and put Him first in our lives. Third thing I want you to see is a word about right learning. About right learning. Moses relates this to parenting, to take the scriptures and teach them to our children. Let me share three ways we can do this. And this whole series is going to be talking about this. Each message, I want to share with you some ways we can teach these things at home. But today, first of all, we must show them the scriptures in us. They need to see it in us. The Word of God is to be in us. It has transformed us. If I expect my life to impact my children, they need to see that I've been transformed by God. They need to see that. Nothing can happen through me until it first happens in me. You understand that? It's essential that we have a personal time of prayer and Bible study in the home and include our children in these family devotions. I looked at the library to see if we had any books that parents could use with their children. We don't really. And we're going to work on that because I want to put some books in the library so you parents can check out and use at home. This one says Devotions for Kids. About the only one I saw in there. So we're going to rectify that. I want to put in your hands some books, maybe some workbooks that your children can do, Bible workbooks that will help them learn the Word of God. If you've got some that you like, maybe you can share that with us. And we'll make those available for our parents, our grandparents, to use at home to teach the children the Word of God. See, if all you're doing is depending on the church to teach them the Word of God, well, we may have them 1 or 2 hours a week. That's not enough. You've got them all week, every day. Most of the teaching ought to take place in your home, not here. I might shock you, but it's not my job or Brother Tim's job to teach your children. You teach your children, and we will supplement it. The main job is for the parents and the grandparents. Teach those children the Word at home on a daily basis. And then bring them to church, and we will just follow up on what you've been teaching at home. But we need to be growing spiritually as adults that we might help our children to grow in the Lord. So the importance of the Bible in the home can never be underestimated. If we expect to raise godly children, they need godly parents to show them the way. God needs to be able to say of us what he said of Abraham. In Genesis 18, 19, here's what God said about Abraham. He said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." God said, "I know Abraham." Can he say that about us? Hey, men, can God say that about us? What he said about Abraham? He ought to be. Many complain that the Ten Commandments can no longer be posted in our schools or in public places. Can I meddle a little bit? So you already have been, so I'll continue. How many of you have the Ten Commandments posted in your home? Anywhere in your home that you posted the Ten Commandments? That's a good, I'll tell you a good place to put them is in your kids' bedroom. Let them see that every day. Take off the posters that glorify a bunch of heretics and lunatics and put up some things that will help them. Amen. Next time you take a drink of water at the fountain, look above it, the Ten Commandments. I did this 12, 13 years ago, a series on the Ten Commandments. We made posters for everybody. We should have done it again, but that's one of them by the water fountain. Every family got a poster of the Ten Commandments to take home. How many of you still have it displayed in your homes? All right, some of you still have it. But that's good. Don't complain about it not being posted in the schools if you don't have it posted in your home. Amen. See, your home is to be a school of law. But it's the law of God we're talking about. The professors of this school is mom and dad. The primary emphasis really is on the father. Because men, God has ordained us to be the leaders in the home. And that means to be spiritual leaders. And they say, well, I gave that job to my wife. And a lot of women do it because the husbands won't. But the women, they're not going to answer to God for it. We men are answering to God for how well we led our homes and how we taught the Word of God. So show them the Scriptures in you. Let them see that. You should be a walking Bible. You ever heard the statement, you may be the only Bible some people ever read? Do you know what that means? They don't read the Bible, but they read you. They watch you. You might be the only Bible that they ever read. But what are you saying with your life? What are you saying? Show them the Scriptures in you. Secondly, share with them the Scriptures. We are to diligently teach God's Word in the home. That word diligent means to whet the appetite or to sharpen. There the idea is one object penetrating another. We are to whet their appetite for the Word of God. Our training should penetrate deeply into our children and grandchildren. We are to help them. On the basis of God's Word, we need to help them to be keen and sharp and discerning when it comes to living this life. You ever get dogmatic with your kids? They ask you why. What's the favorite answer? Because I said so, right? Now, didn't you hate that when your parents said that to you? Now, don't you say it to your kids. We didn't like it when we were kids, but here we are doing the same thing. Because I said so. Well, that's not a bad answer. You ought to obey your parents because they're your parents. Because they say so. But it's even better if we can back it up so they can understand why we are teaching them and leading them in a certain way. See, we want to develop in them some convictions. Some people really don't have any convictions. They've got a few opinions, but no convictions about anything. We need to have some convictions about right and wrong, about what the Bible has to say. Do you have any convictions that you can share with your children? Not just a bunch of rules, not just a bunch of do's and don'ts, but teaching them by explanation and by example the things that God would have them to know and learn. Write this verse down. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Here Paul said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father, notice this, as a father doth his children. Exhort them, comfort them, charge them. Three ways to influence your children. Exhort them means to challenge them. That word means to call to one side that you might speak with them and instruct them. See, we want to get the kids on our team, don't we? It's to develop within them some convictions that they may take with them. We want to pass on our faith to our children. And we want them to pass it on to our grandchildren, generation to generation. That's what the Bible's teaching. Pass it on to the next generation. Challenge them and comfort them. Encourage them. We want to bring out the best in our children. How do we do that? I think by encouraging them. We ought to encourage them and not always harp on their faults and shortcomings. Let's be positive and not always negative with the children. Encourage them. Brag on them when they do well. Amen? Don't be so negative all the time. Challenge them, comfort them, charge them. There are times when we cannot condone certain things and we have to deal with bad behavior. We are to accomplish this, and the Bible shows us how. Parents, you ought to study the book of Proverbs a lot. You know what Proverbs is? Solomon instructing his children. That's what it's about. Here's a father, Solomon, instructing his children. Over and over again, he says, my son. He says, my son, give me thine heart. Do you have your children's heart? Seriously. Do you have their heart? They want to give their heart to somebody. And who better to give it to than mom and dad? Capture your children's heart. That's so important. That they know you love them and care for them. Will always be there for them. And they won't hesitate to give their heart to mom and dad. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you are nodding like you understand. That's Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Then number three, we must shape them by the scriptures. We must shape them. Now understand, each child is uniquely formed by God. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 3, David says, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Then he says in verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. From my mother's womb, God has known me. While a child will certainly acquire certain traits from being raised in a home, he's not the product of evolution. He has been formed by God for a particular function. God knows each and every one of us from the womb. It doesn't help abortionists, does it? A child in the womb, God knows. God knows. So we need to remember that it's up to us to direct them and guide them, that God's will might be accomplished in our children. You ever heard parents say, well, I don't teach my children the Bible or take them to church. I want them to grow up and make their own choices. And they think that's so wise. That's the dumbest thing you could ever say. I want to have them grow up and make their own choices. You better teach them. Teach them the truth. Teach them the Word of God. Because that's your responsibility as a parent. We need to teach them. Teach them the truth. Years ago, a young man in our church, a teenager, still in high school, he came forward one Sunday and announced his call to the ministry. If I called his name, many of you would know. His mother attended here. His father did not. He was not a believer. This man accused me of manipulating his son somehow, encouraging him to become a preacher. I did not. Never once talked to him about it. Matter of fact, I was not even aware of this young man's intentions until he made it public one Sunday. But here's what his dad said to me. He said, I've got great plans for my son, and I don't want him wasting his life being a preacher. Wasting his life. He said, I got better plans for my son. Well, I said, sir, God's got even better plans for him. A lot of people feel that way. Secondly, each child has an individual bent. Everybody knows Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, those of us that have children that are not serving the Lord, we wonder about this. Let me remind you, this is a proverb, not a promise. Everybody get it? This is a proverb, not a promise. Because every child, they have their own freedom of choice. They've got their own will. They're going to exercise their will. You can teach them and show them the way, and they can still choose to go another way. But the words train up is very important here. Teaching and training are two different things. Teaching is one thing. Training involves a lot more. These people are in training for certain things. They give their all in this training. And we are to train our children. Not just teach them the Word of God, but be involved in their life. Show them how to do the, just train them each and every day. Lead them to develop a hunger for God, to be internally motivated, not just externally compelled. In the way he should go, not the way you want him to go. See, I learned this kind of late. Some of us parents, we want to raise our children to be certain things. A lot of dads want their children, their sons, to be athletes. They really put a lot of time and effort in raising that son in athletics. They want him to succeed, become a pro, and get rich and take care of mom and dad. That might be underlying all that. But you know, some people are not athletic. You could have a son that's just not athletic. That's just not in his DNA. That's not the way he should go. What is the way he should go? It's the way God ordained. It's the way God gave this person an individual bent in the way he should go. Not the way you think, but the way God says. I heard about a salesman who was driving through the country, and he came to a fork in the road. He's looking for a certain town. There was a farmer standing there, and he stopped and said, "Does it make any difference which road I take?" The farmer said, "To me, it doesn't. To me, it doesn't. I don't care where you go." When it comes to truth, it makes a difference which way we go. Which way we lead our children. Children are different. Cain and Abel, brothers, but how different they were. Jacob and Esau were twins, yet they were completely different from one another. So each child has different interests, and they should be trained according to those interests. Some are creative and artistic. Some are more practical and logical. Some are athletic, while others are not. But find out what path God has in mind for that child and help them. See, a wise parent trains a child in the way God wants him to go, according to God's will. Then lastly, each child is born with a sin nature. We've got to keep that in mind. Now, they may seem so sweet and innocent when they're little, but inside each one is a sin nature. And it begins expressing itself very early. The Bible says, Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." So there's a sin nature we've got to deal with. In teaching and training our children, sometimes we've got to correct them. We've got to discipline them. Now, we're living in a day and time when parents are told not to discipline their children. Well, the Bible says do it. The Bible says discipline your children. If you don't discipline your child, he will grow up to punish you. You might want to write that down. That was a good one. Did you get it? If you don't discipline your child, they'll grow up to punish you. What's the Bible say? Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his son. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. As I said, it's not my responsibility, it's not Tim's responsibility to teach and discipline your children. That's your responsibility. Learn some creative ways to do it. And we're going to share some of those with you in the weeks to come. So as we stand together, we prepare for a hymn of invitation. I heard somebody say it's easier to train a child than to repair a broken adult. Right? It's easier to train a child than to wait and have to repair a broken adult. May the Lord help us to do this, to be the kind of parents and grandparents that we need to be. Once again, we'd like to give an opportunity in closing a service to have an invitation. If God has spoken to your heart this morning about something you need to do, if you're not saved, you'd like to come accept Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you to come.